See everyone out this morning. We have a few announcements to make before we begin our work service. Good to see everyone here. I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors. We have several with us this morning. You are honored guests. Glad to have you. Members on the sick list this morning, the only one I have is McKenzie. Don't know of anyone else. No one's been mentioned to me. Members out of town, we have Kirby's and James Carter. When's the invitation? I'm on schedule to do that. Part is a worship, times of worship at this place. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock for our Bible studies, or 10 o'clock for our worship. We'll meet again this afternoon at 4 p.m. for our evening worship service. Meet again Wednesday evening at 7 for our Bible study. The order of worship this morning, the opening prayer will be taken care of Brother Tony. Communion will be taken care of Brother Dan, Brother Mike. Song will be this morning, Brother Tim. He selected page 473. First selection this morning. You will take your songbooks and return to 473. Chuck's going to bring us our lesson this morning. And Brother Andrew will have a closing prayer. Anything else I might have missed? If something that I missed needs to be announced or in the services, just come let me know later. If not, take your songbook and turn to 473. Start the word. Oh, how I love Jesus. We'll sing all three verses.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Deepest woe, who any sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Next song is number 298. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. We'll sing all four verses and then we'll be left in our opening word of prayer.
I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. Jesus, my God, I know his name. His name is all my trust. Nor will he put my soul to shame, nor let my hope be lost. Firm as his throne, his promise stands, and he can well secure what I committed to his hands till decisive hour. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the new Jerusalem appoint for me a place.
Now be led and open your word, please.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful for this Lord's Day morning, the opportunity to come here, be a fellow Christians, to study another portion of Thy Word, and sing praises unto Thy name. Father, we are thankful for each and every one of us that have come here to put You first in our life, to understand the importance of edifying one another and building each other up here in the presence of each and every one of us. Father, we pray for Brother Chuck this morning as he brings us our lesson. We pray that we'll have open hearts and open minds, and that he will present Your word in a way that's well-pleasing in Thy sight. Father, we pray for the work that is being done here. We pray much good will come from it. We pray that we can touch those that are seeking the truth, and that we can turn them to You before it's everlasting too late. Father, we pray for the work that is being done on our new building. Pray that You'll continue to watch over it. We'll pray that the new building will be done in a way that a lot of work can, or a lot of good can be done from this work here at River Ridge. We pray for those of our number that are on the road to travel. We pray for those that are under due to sickness and are not able to be here this morning. We pray that You will watch over them, and be Thy will that You will turn them back to the next point in time. We pray, Father, for those that have turned away from Your word, that have fallen out into the world. We pray that there is something that can be said or done that they will see the erring of their way, and that they will return back to You before it's everlasting too late. We pray that You go with us now throughout this hour. We are indeed thankful for Your Son, our Savior, the sacrifice that was made upon the cross on our behalf. We pray that You'll be with us now, and that everything we say and do here is well pleasing indeed. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
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 I'm going to turn to song number 408. We sing this song when the Lord's Supper will be offered low in the grave. He will help us focus our mind on this sacrifice that Jesus made for us when He went to the grave, died, and then was resurrected. We'll sing the chorus after each of the verses. So we'll sing each of the verses slowly, and then we'll sing the chorus.
Low in the grave He lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Vainly they watch His bed, Jesus my Savior. He tore the
He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
There's a lot of good discussion in the adult class this morning. Weren't in there, we were discussing Romans 12 and then a little bit of Romans 13. Specifically, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the way to conduct ourselves when others do wrong by us. It's also going to be the subject on the radio show this afternoon. And like I said, there was a lot of good conversation that took place, a lot of strategies and tips and things like that that were shared about how we should handle that situation. When others are mistreating us. We made the point that we're not supposed to take vengeance, and that, you know, even when, you know, when things are done wrong to us, you know, we're not supposed to take vengeance, but that we still want justice to be done. But we do need to keep in mind that while we were calling, you know, we might want justice then, really, we should want mercy for them, because we have to remember that ultimately each of us has also done wrong at different points in our lives. We have to remember that God, through Christ, is not throwing the book at us, but he's offering mercy to us, that we're not going to receive the punishment that each of us is due, but rather that we have a hope of salvation with him. And so I wanted to read a couple of verses quickly this morning. I'm in the book of Ephesians. I wanted to take a look specifically at verse 4. Of God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I think that that pretty well establishes the point that I was making. God loved us even when we were operating contrary to his word. And so we need to keep that in mind for ourselves this morning as we're gathered around the table. Specific to that, I wanted to very quickly touch upon 1 Corinthians 11. We'll pick it up in verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With these thoughts in mind, let us give thanks at this time for the bread. And Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, to thank you for the service that we've all been able to attend, the hope that we have that enables us to be here, Father. But we especially thank you for that sacrifice that your Son made upon the cross for us. We pray specifically for the bread at this time, representative of the body that he gave and the anguish that he went through, Father. As we read in Ephesians, we know that you care for us, Father. You cared for us even when we were living a way that was contrary to your word, Father. We're thankful for the opportunity we had to be forgiven. We pray that we can do better in these days than we did at that time, that we can be earnest in our faith for you, that we can seek to do better going forward. All these things we pray in your Son's name at this time. Amen. Amen.
good. Please give thanks for the cup.
Let's bow as we pray. Most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer at this time, we come thanking you, praising you, and realizing you're the only true and living God. Father, we come to you in prayer this time, specifically thanking you for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which is Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. We pray that as we partake of it this morning, that our minds be carried back to the cross, to the life that Jesus lived for us, for the sacrifice that he gave, for the pain that he endured, but for the love that he showed for us, and help us to focus on these things and to remember these things as we partake of this morning. And we're sorry that it was our sin that caused the sacrifice to have to happen. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Separate part of the worship this morning. The members here at River Ridge have an opportunity but also an obligation to be contributing of as they have been blessed this week in a material sense so that the work here at this congregation might be able to continue. We do have several guests with us this morning. We appreciate your presence here. We're not soliciting your funds or anything of the sort. You do choose to give, though. We want you to understand that all those monies that are being offered here today are going to be used so that we can continue to spread the gospel in this community. With these things being said, let's go to God in thanks for all of this. Heavenly Father, as we have thanked you for the spiritual blessings we enjoy this morning, especially that which was offered to us through your Son's sacrifice, we also want to thank you for the physical ways in which you bless us here on the earth. Father, each of us has been given a bounty more than we need to survive. We all have homes to go back to. We have transportation. We have plenty of food, all these sorts of things, Father, and we thank you for that. Father, we pray that as we enjoy these things, we also leave some aside so that we might be able to contribute back to the work here so that your word can continue to be spread in this community, knowing that is our most important task. Father, we pray for the elders at this time. We pray that they might be able to use these funds wisely, that they would make good decisions with them, and that the things that we do use this money for would be effective in spreading your gospel and in winning more souls to your cause. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Song before Chuck's lesson this morning be number 515 on Zion's glorious summit. Sing all three verses and then we'll sing the Sanctus only after the last verse. So all three verses, only the fourth one.
On Zion's glorious summit stood the numerous souls redeemed by blood. Thank him, their King, it's raised divine. I heard the song as roll to roar. I heard the song as roll to joy. Hear all
Ladies' Invitation, Psalm 420. I think I forgot to mention, to warn to mention, and that is ladies' class tomorrow night at Tina's, 7 o'clock. And if you're worried whether you'll get there in time, good for you. The lesson's on worry. Okay, so it's on worry tomorrow night. Okay, now we broke the ice. All right, let's get into the Word. You know, there's a great passage over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when Paul had this confidence that he was going to go to heaven. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, I have already been poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Victory. I love to win. I'm very competitive. Spiritually speaking, we're guaranteed victory. If we listen to the Lord, you know, the thing is, we have an advantage in this course, this race that we're running. This, I'm not going to call it a game. But you guys, I don't know if you've ever noticed on TV, have you ever noticed in a baseball game that the pitcher, when they go and talk to me, he kind of holds it, he's talking into his glove. Does he love the smell of leather or something? He's going like this. And coaches on the sideline, they're talking to their assistants. They're going, and you know, all you're saying is this. I mean, what's he doing? He's got bad breath or something. He's covering it up. And you guys know exactly what's going on. He's covering up so people can't read his lips, so people can gain an advantage and know what play they're going to call. And if you got to know, hey, throw him a fastball. You know, well, the guy's ready for it. You know, you got to keep that a secret. Well, I'll tell you what. When it comes to us up against our adversary, the Lord has given us an advantage. He's told us everything we need to know about our adversary. He can't pull a fat. Didn't see that one coming. What are you talking about? Now let's first understand something. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, we have an adversary. He's like a roaring lion. He's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour us. It's plain and simple. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 8, describing him, 1 John 3 verse 8, he says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God might be manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's just plain sinful. He wants to tempt you and I. That's obvious. I mean, we know that he is going to do everything in his power to try to get us to transgress. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 27. I'm trying to get through this introduction quickly. It just said in verse 26, be angry, do not sin, do not let sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't do that. Chapter 6 of the same book in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, there's many allurements, many lures that are out there, temptations. Now, that's who our opponent is. Say, he's yours. Okay, yeah. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Have you? Is a crown of righteousness laid up in store for you? Are you faithful to God? I'm just asking you straight up. This is a battle that you're in. But the good news is that the Lord has given us an advantage. Now, I'm going to tell you six things that the devil wants to do. It's going to be no surprise. I mean, when you know what your adversary's up to, you got it. Okay? You can guard against that. It's like, you know, we understand the Bible says the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. Well, we understand the idea of a thief. But you know what? No thief is going to have success with you if he calls you up and says, I'm going to be there tomorrow night at 6. Well, you've got the police there. You've got your husband. You got guys. You everybody got your guns? Ready? Okay, he's coming. You're ready. Same thing. Now, the devil, what does he want to do? Well,
ultimately, he doesn't have to worry about you. Matthew chapter 16. He doesn't, plan A, we're going to talk about plan B in a moment. Plan A, if he can get Jesus to sin, see all these passages in the Bible about Jesus being tempted to sin. You go to Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. You know he tempted him. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We have in Matthew chapter 16, it says this in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, Jesus is coming to build his church. What's that? His special people. The word church means the called out. I am going to have my special people. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He called them his own peculiar, his own special people. That's what the church is, okay? Okay, the church is the body. Okay, he said, I am going to build, Christ said this, I am going to build my church. Oh, this is easy. Kill him, kill everybody else. If we get Jesus to sin once, devil knows this. Plan of action here. Get Jesus to transgress. Jesus transgresses, then we have a problem. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, he said, he never sinned. He was the perfect sacrifice. Therefore, he was able to build his church. Acts 20 and verse 28. He purchased the church with his own blood. The only reason you can have a peculiar, a special people, which is called the church, by the way, is because Jesus Christ never sinned. And he was able to go to the cross for you and I, for the whole world, but for those who obey him, there it is. So we see his plan of action. He tried to get Jesus to sin. And he failed. So, the rest of it applies to you and me. The last 5 points. Obviously. Plan A failed, plan B. But the good news is, what I'm going to read about here, now it's like no surprise. It's like knowing what your opponent's going to do every step of the way. There was a football coach who got in trouble because it seemed that he knew every play that was going to be played. And you could just counter that. Man, if you knew everything that's up, we do that with the kids sometimes. I know I annoy them, but, you know, one of the kids will be going out of the room, and I'll get in front of them, you know, and every, you know, because we're older, our reflexes are usually a little faster than that, and I'm anticipating where they're going. There's no challenge for me. You're not getting by me. You know, and then I eventually let them go. You know, it's a childish game, right, for a men's 53. But the point is, when you look at this from a Bible standpoint, wow. Devil haven't got a chance. I know everything that he's going to do. Now, what he has to do, obviously, plan B, I don't want you to become a member of the church. That's it. You see, that's it. You don't want me. I don't really want you to know that. I'm trying to keep that a secret. That's my secret play. My secret play here is that I'm doing everything that I can to keep you out. Acts chapter 2 tells us, you know, how people overcame that. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel was preached. In verse 37, it says, and when they heard this, it was the gospel. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So the devil, you know, I mean, he just doesn't want you to know this, but he just wants you like, okay, you can hear the word if you want. I just assume you not hear the word. You know, don't hear the word. Don't make time to study the word. Don't read your Bible. I don't want you hearing the word. But if you're going to hear the word, go ahead and hear. But just don't do it. Don't obey the gospel. Don't become a Christian. I don't want you doing that, because you know what happens is if you do that, the Lord's going to add you to his church. See, I don't want you to be in the church. But we know that. We know that. We can have victory if we don't listen to him. Now, if somebody misses heaven, And, any of us here goes, what? I had to obey the gospel? No, no, you know that. So you want victory, then you just counter that, folks. I mean, these guys are covering their mouths to conceal, you know. I'm not advocating cheating here, but the point is, if somebody knows, if I'm a batter, and I know a fastball's coming, I'm not going to say to myself, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. No, you're going to take advantage of that. And I'm telling you, folks, listen. The Lord made it that your adversary is not stronger than you. The Lord made, he said, I'm going to give you all the information about your adversary. Unfortunately, he's going to destroy many people. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And of course, the crazy thing about that is, how do you lose when you have all that information? How can you possibly lose when you can make every countermeasure to that person? It's like going to war, a general. You know everything. They're trying to hear on their, I don't know, I'm not going to get technical because I don't know the stuff, but they're trying to get all the secrets from their enemies of what they plan on doing. You get that information, victory. You and I, we need to obey the gospel. Now, I realize there's a lot of confusion out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, the devil likes that. There's so much religious confusion out there. I know it. And so they don't want people to be able to discern. So we read this passage and people say, well, Chuck, I know people teach different plans of salvation. The devil's going, yeah, confusion, great. You know what? We got the advantage. You can know the truth. You can know what the plan of salvation, you can know how to become a Christian. That's the thing. Now, it's only the few that really want it, but the point is you can become a Christian. You can have victory. But I know the devil's been responsible for all the religious confusion that's out there. Look at all the different churches out there. How am I supposed to know which church is which church? I'm just going to sit at home and say, forget it. Nobody can know. Devil goes, that's right. That's right. You can't know. And God says, yes, you can. You can know. I gave you all the information of how to become a Christian. And a person who believes in Jesus Christ, you repent, which means you turn and follow him. Change of direction. Confess him before man. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Yes. And then you get baptized into Christ for the what? The remission of your sins. We just read it. And who? And then what happens? The Lord automatically puts you into the church. The devil says, don't do that. I've got to keep you out. I've got to keep you out. And maybe the lures of the world will prevent you from becoming a Christian, because 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, you know, you don't love the world, the things that are in the world. What? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of the life. But even all those things can't stop people who really want it. That's the good news. There's the victory. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we said, you know what? We know his tactics. I know he doesn't want me. I know he wants me to stay in my seat. I know he wants me to put it off for more convenient season. I know he doesn't want me to do it right now. I know all that. Well, if you know all that, obey. Then you win. He doesn't win there. Now, he doesn't stop, but I'll tell you what. That's all he has to do. The rest don't apply. Just doesn't want you to become a Christian. Jesus, he purchased the church with his own blood, lost that battle. Okay, don't want you to become a Christian. Two, obviously, within that, he will try to get those members to fall away. Okay, Lord, I had you in the church. Now I really don't want those people to be faithful to God. Turn to James chapter 4, for example. James chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Where do wars and fightings come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You've got to decide, what is it that you want? Do you want, you know, do you want to win? I can see coaches, you know, trying to motivate their players at halftime. Do you want to win? Do you want to win? Listen to me. I'm telling you what you're doing wrong. Listen to me. And this is what God is saying. You know what? You can stay faithful to the Lord. But 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, take heed lest you fall. Do you know that the devil is saying, look, I have to get you to fall. I don't want you to be faithful to the Lord. And James chapter 5, 19 and 20 talks about people who wander away from the truth. But here's the positive side. So Chuck, he's doing all that. So what can I do? I want victory like Paul talked about. Well, God said, you know that. So 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine yourselves as whether you were in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you indeed have become disqualified? I know I can fall. I know my adversary wants me to do that. So what do? I examine myself. I'm constantly seeing, okay, what do I have to work on? You know, okay, I might be good over here, but you know, have I been a good parent? Have I been a good husband or a good wife? Have I been a good employee? Have I been a good citizen? You know, I do everything else, but I cheat on my taxes. You know, we examine all things within our lives because, you know, we don't want to fall away. We want to be faithful to our God. And that we want to look out for each other. You know, Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespass, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. You know, we look out for one another. And you want to talk about bearing one another's burdens. There's just so many things that we can do. We look out for self, we look out for others, each other. Christians constantly keep an eye. It's kind of like we want the devil to say to himself, seriously, it's kind of like I want the devil to say, man, it's like Chuck is one step ahead of me all the time. It's like he's always putting these precautions in, you know, to make sure he doesn't weaken. Do I do that? But I can know because I know what the devil wants from me. I know what he's trying to do to weaken me and to get me to go back into the world. All of us here. But we have the advantage of knowing that. And so we make the precautions. We make sure that we study and we build up our faith and we build up our love towards one another as a family, as a church. But I'll talk about that in just a few moments. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, another aspect. You might say, Chuck, it's identical to the one you just preached. Yes, it is, in a general sense. Okay. You're a member. You're not going back into the world, per se. I just don't want you doing anything. I just want you to be lukewarm. I just want these Christians just to do the bare minimum. Just be lukewarm. Just exist. It's not like you contribute anything to the church. It's not like you're active. It's not like you actually do anything for the Lord and for the work that he's doing. I just want you just to exist. You're not growing. It's not like you're growing cold where you've left. But it's not like you're on fire. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? And so this whole idea of rendering Christians useless. Now, it can show up in many different ways. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Maybe I can just get brethren to be really hard. These Christians, he's not my brother, but Satan, if he can just get you guys and myself so discouraged, quit trying to evangelize. Quit trying to spread the gospel. Put the pressure on you. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Power's here, Romans 1:16. There's the power to convert people. No, we're not having the kind of results. I'm just not going to try it anymore. I get no after no after no. I've been a Christian for years. I'm just going to quit trying. We beat ourselves up and we quit growing. We quit improving. And we kind of render ourselves as useless. I can't do anything. Don't let the devil do that, folks. Don't let him do it to you. Because that you know that. You know that. And having known that, you can say to yourself, well, no. Because of Romans chapter 12, I am reminded of the fact that I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service, our reasonable service. And I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind that I may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's the way I'm going to be. But guys, isn't it kind of silly? How do you lose a battle when you've got all this information? When you know what they're going to do? You can't lose. You think about, I think about being all-knowing. I often think about that. I don't want to bring God down to it, so I don't want to talk about Jesus in this illustration. But just imagine if you were all-knowing. Do you know if you were all-knowing? It's like a goaltender. It's hockey, but... If I just put my glove here, what'd you do that for? Well, he's going to shoot it. How do you know? Well, it's going to ricochet. Oh, there it is. You don't even break a sweat. Dude, you don't even break a sweat. What are you putting your foot there for? Well, he's going to shoot there. Well, sure enough, he shot there. You know, to know everything before it happens, wow, what an advantage. How do you lose? You can't lose. How do you lose? You say, Chuck, it's not quite that simple. It is that simple. You know exactly what your adversary is up to, and you and I are saying to ourselves, I know he wants me to become lukewarm. I know he doesn't want me to be active. I know he doesn't want me talking to anybody about Christ. I know he doesn't want me to let my light shine. Well, if you know that, then what do? Some people just do nothing. What's the sense of having that knowledge if you don't use it? That's why the Lord spoke to us, folks. That's why Paul could say, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. And you can say the same thing. You can have that victory. You can have that assurance. We all need to be having that. Well, let's move on. You're getting tracked. There's only two left. John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay. There's the church. They want to be active. They don't want to go back into the world. You know, what's another tactic that he has? What's another wile of the devil? Well, they're going to come together. Let's corrupt this. Let's corrupt the gathering. How do we do that? Well, notice what he did. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Dan read. We'll back up a few verses before that. Look at verse 17. You've heard me read this many times. He says, here's to a church that's coming together. He says, now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. I'm going to talk more about the division aspect in my last point, but this point, I just want to talk more about corrupting worship. How did they corrupt worship here? Well, it tells us in verse 20, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. It should have been, like we just did. In eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What do you not have? Houses to eat and drink? And do you despise the church of God? Shame those who have nothing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Let's corrupt this worship. God said, John 4:24, let's worship in spirit and in truth. Let's just focus on the spirit. The spirit, folks, is that we enjoy one another. The social aspect. Do you guys like get together with people and play games? Isn't it fun? You like to have fun? I like to have fun. And again, back to my opening statement, I like to win when I'm having fun. I like to have fun. Well, the devil's like going, oh, great, this is something. This is something. I want them to have fun at church. I want worship to be fun. And so therefore, we're going to turn it into a social affair. Now, I just want to give you guys a heads up. You guys have been looking at the new building. We've got it all framed in there. And some people are coming and go, I said, what's this room over here? Well, we're going to have a nursery there. We got, you know, 20 people having babies. We're going to have a nursery over here. And we're going to have a classroom here, and a bathroom here, and a bathroom here. Where's the kitchen? Where are we going to plug in the coffee maker? I mean, where are we going to have the donut? Where is this? You know, we actually had to deal with this with the sewer board. You know, we had to stand before some officials. They're wanting to know what we're doing there. No daycare center. No business. No gymnasium. They're still hung up on the fact we have a sanctuary. It's an auditorium, okay? But the point is, they don't understand a lot of things. And so, But people think in those terms because you know what? Worship, it's for the church. No, it's not. It's for the Lord. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so what happens is the devil says, you know what? I need to hurt these people. And so I need to get them to turn worship into something that's for them and not for God. That's what I need to do. And I need them to have the attitude of, what's the harm? Who does it hurt? Get them to think along those lines. And then, okay, I win again. I'm winning. I'm on the advantage. But you know what? We're going, oh no. We saw that one coming, didn't we? We knew that. And so therefore, when it comes to worshiping God, we go to Ephesians chapter 5, we go to Acts chapter 2, and we go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. He said, no. We are to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We are to contribute. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. We're going to take up a contribution on the first day of the week. I am not going to get on the TV, on the radio. Dan and I will not get on there and say, send your funds to River Ridge, Church of Christ, Post Office Box 30. We don't want their money. We don't want their donations. It's the work of the church here. And so we're not going to do things that go beyond. That's the truth aspect. And so we're aware of that, folks. And so the devil's not going to win that. And that's why Paul could say with confidence, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Turn to Psalm 133, guys. This ties into our last point. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, Psalm 133, first verse says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Isn't that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10? Brethren, I beseech you before God that you, what? You be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. No division among you. He wants division within this congregation. That's how he can try to destroy us. So, well, you know, it seems to me with all these points that we talk about here, well, they obviously, they want to become a Christian. They don't want to fall away, like go back in the world. They want to still attend. Well, I'll get them to be lukewarm. Well, they don't want to be lukewarm. They don't want to corrupt their worship. So what can I do? Create schisms in the body. But again, we know that. So what we do is that we counteract that. What do? Well, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and remind ourselves in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, for the members here, prevent this from happening is to let you know, first of all, as a preacher, I'm not better than you. Tim and I as elders, we're not better than you. Deacons are not better than you. Song leaders not better than you. Men are not better than you. We're all one in Christ. And he makes the point here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in the one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And then he went on to talk about the ear, the foot. We're not all an ear. We're not all a foot. How do we prevent schisms from being in the body? Well, we have that love for one another. We have that idea that one is not greater than another. There is that equality here. We have different duties. I understand you. Different jobs. You might say the different office of an elder or whatever. But within the local body of Christ, there is to be unity and it can be maintained. Guess what, folks? There can be victory. I know everything from here. And because of that, guess what, guys? Nothing shocks me. Nothing shocks me anymore. Nothing surprises me anymore. Say, you're not surprised that a brother who's been preaching for 30 years left and went off with some other woman? That doesn't surprise you? The devil's tactic. It hurts. It saddens me that those kind of things happen. But we see the handwriting on the wall. We knew he was going to be doing these things. You mean some brethren fell away? Yeah, that's what he's doing. I mean, mean, some brethren become lukewarm? Yeah, that's what happens. You mean the schisms in the body? Yes. That's what the devil is doing. But as negative as that sounds, the positive side of all this, folks, is that we know it, therefore we can prevent it from happening. He can't defeat you. So the final verse, James 4, 7 and 8, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Really, Chuck? Really? I can have victory against him? Yeah, you draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So where does it all start, folks? I'll tell you what, there has to be a beginning point. Jesus already died. He already purchased the church, so we're past there. Next step. Are you a Christian? He doesn't want you to. And yet, and now you know it. And you can become a Christian. Nobody can say, I'm willing and ready to obey, but I can't. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. Because if you can't, it's because you're either not ready or not willing. But if you're ready and you're willing, you can become a Christian right now. And any of the rest, you know what he's done, whether to get you back into the world, to become lukewarm, to stir up division, whatever it might be, that can also be correct because of 1 John chapter 1. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He doesn't want you to repent. I got an email question last night. I don't know where you found this on our website. We'll deal with it on the radio. And he said, what's the sin? What's the unpardonable sin? I don't understand how that God won't forgive somebody who sins against the Holy Spirit. And folks, in simple terms, the only sin that God will not forgive is one that's not forgiven. Repentance. It's as simple as that. And so, you can't say the devil, he did it to you. You allowed it. You can resist it. And so this morning, you want to have that victory? You want to have that confidence that Paul talked about? I fought a good fight, kept the faith, henceforth is laid up for me. Can you leave here this morning with that kind of confidence in your life that you can get in the car, God forbid anything bad would ever happen to you, but are you ready? The Lord assured you victory. Will you follow him? If you're subject in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
Come for all, and can it be? Can I hope it is for me? I who strayed so long ago, strayed so far and fell so low. I, the disobedient child, wayward passion. Love for me.
had spiritual thoughts on their minds and came here to worship with us in spirit and truth this morning. We thank you for being here. We'll be back again at 4 o'clock this afternoon. If you have an opportunity to come back with us, please do so. Great message that Chuck brought us this morning, as he says all the time. He just stole it from the Word. It's there, and it's got everything we need to combat the wiles of the devil. So let's pray for each other this week as we go out to the workplace and all those opportunities that are going to be there for us to stumble. Let's pray for each other to have strength and to ask each other when we need prayers. Are there any other announcements, men, that need to be made at this time? Okay. If not, we'll now be led in closing word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and so blessed that you've given us this day to where we have prepared our thoughts, our minds, our hearts to come in your presence to worship you. We're also so grateful that we're able to be in the presence with amongst other Christians to edify and encourage one another as well. We ask that as we are about to depart, that we remember to dwell upon your word, that we continue to study, and help us to make precautions in our lives so that we're not so easily willing to give in to temptations. Help us to gain courage and have strength with your word so that we can also spread throughout the week. Please be with us as you always have. Help us make the better and wise decisions each day so that we're always singing praises and praising your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Chuck, how'd y'all make out?
Yeah, it was quick and easy. Yep.
Wow.